I'm very happy to come here to bless your statue and to celebrate with you the feast, patronal feast of St. Dominic. Having been a pastor in Chicago, I know that there were many church decorators and individuals who would come in and talk to the pastor and try to sell him on the decoration of the church. And one of the great pulling devices, bringing the pastor in, was the fact when they would create the murals, especially kind of heaven, one of the faces in the people of heaven would be the pastor of the parish. Now, you think I'm kidding you. In my own parish that I was pastor of, St. Ignatius, in the north side of Chicago, right near Loyola University, we had that beautiful, wonderful mural of heaven. And there were my two predecessors, the two Jesuit pastors who were up in heaven. And the congregation said, the only way those two were going to get into heaven is if someone painted them into the picture. So when we go to bless that statue of the resurrected Jesus, I'm hoping it doesn't look like Father Dennis or Father Aaron. Maybe it's okay if it looks like Father Dave. It's okay. Wonderful aspect of seeing wonderful things like statues, seeing the expression of the incarnational aspect of our faith, meaning we touch the things of this world and we shape them so that they reflect the world yet to come. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. You know, the whole aspect of what we are drawn to. We're marked not for this world, but we are marked for the next world. And what happens is when we come together to pray as a community and pronounce our allegiance to that person of Jesus Christ, we are saying immediately we are directed towards that world is yet to come. Fulfillment is not found here. And if it is, I would tell you immediately, you're wasting your time. Get out, go out, do something else, go out, find whatever your treasure is, go out. Because this one tells you immediately when we come together that it is the love of God which is fulfilled only before God himself and only through, in totality, that person of Jesus Christ who offers us everything through his love. The fullness of the revelation of the Father's love is found in that person of Jesus Christ. That's why we come together. That's why we have an altar. That's why we celebrate. Today's reading and the proclamation in the gospel tells us the cost of that discipleship. If you follow Luke during that pericope, Luke has already established, who do you say that I am? And of course, the response is by Peter, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You're the one. And then all of a sudden now we know that there's trials and tribulations, so Jesus gives us that transfiguration that we basically just celebrated recently on the 6th. But this is Jesus teaching. This is Jesus teaching his disciples the cost of discipleship. Cost of discipleship. And the first one, he answers to the first person, he says, I'll follow you wherever you go. Oh, you will you? We heard that one, right? Didn't we hear that from St. Peter? Oh, I'll follow you, Lord. I'm with you all the way. And Jesus kind of says, realize what happens when you pledge yourself to the Lord Jesus. Realize that I hold nothing back. I can't even rest my head as the normal animals would do. If you're pledging yourself to me, realize this is what you're accepting. You're accepting following me in totality. The second one sounds a little harsh, and we see that in terms of the relationship of Elijah and Elisha when they're taking a look at asking immediately someone to follow them. Let me go back and bury my father and put ties to the ends of what I am doing right now for my family so I can go on. And of course, Elisha said that, fine, you can do that and then follow me. Jesus doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say that. He says, no, now. And it sounds a little harsh, but in reality, his father's not dead. What he's saying to Jesus is, I'll come when it's convenient. I'll come when it's convenient. When we're confronted by the Lord, when the Lord comes into our life, it's then. It's now. It's not when we decide we can do it a little later. It's not we can put it off. It's now. The invitation is there. Because oftentimes we find out the invitation isn't there later. The Spirit isn't there later. Discipleship means when the invitation comes, you follow. And that could mean different aspects of invitation. It could mean the invitation of one in terms of vocation to priesthood, religious life. It could mean the invitation in terms of family and the commitment of family, the commitment of the love of a husband and wife to form and fashion that commitment of love of Jesus Christ in their family through what they do, how they say, and what they witness to one another. The invitation comes, it's immediate. We must respond. And of course, the last one is a simple one. Anyone who sets a hand to the plow, you can't look back. Because what happens? If you look back, you're no longer plowing the field. You're making curvatures. You're no longer going to have rows of planted seed. What you're going to have is scattered seed all over the place. When you make your commitment, you don't look back. What you do is you embrace the person that you know. Because who's the commitment to? The commitment is to Jesus Christ. That's where the commitment is to. That's what we forget. The plow is just not making sure that we feel. It's having Jesus as our point of reference as we go forward. It's Jesus who we're committed to. Interesting thing in Corinthians, when Paul starts talking, you know, Paul demeans himself. There's a little self-effacing in Paul. In this passage, Corinthians, he doesn't consider himself the great preacher. This is Paul. He doesn't consider himself the great preacher. In fact, he says, you know, I try to fashion my phrase, I try to get a little cutesy with everybody so they can pull things in, or I try to extend it in some manner. All of a sudden, what he comes up to is, hey, my message should be simple. And a simplicity should be the love of Jesus through the cross and embracing the cross. And I tell you, as we gather here today to go out and bless the resurrected Jesus, the statue, that you've got to realize you cannot get to the resurrected Jesus unless it goes through the cross. Again, you cannot get to the resurrected Jesus unless you go through the cross. And what does that mean? That means sacrifice. That's the basis of love. If you understand our faith is that God, the Father, turned his Son over to us. And there were no bounds. When he turned himself over to us, he gave himself totally and completely, a sacrificial act for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we might reestablish that relationship with the Lord. So we might have that relationship with the Lord that was reestablished, that was lost through sin, now is given back to us. Sacrificial love. You cannot get to the empty tomb unless it's through the cross. Jesus didn't get to the empty tomb except through the cross. Through the cross. And what is this whole journey that we're taking? What is this whole aspect? We are bound to be saints. Here's where Dominic comes in. I have a coat of arms. Every bishop has a coat of arms. And one side there's a fleur-de-lis, which is St. Mary Lake Seminary, where I was a professor for years. And the other side, there's a strange eight-point star. Do you know what eight-point star is? Dominic. Because the influence of the Dominicans in my life, as well as the Jesuits, who were my teachers. And the eight-point star was an aspect of the inspiration, literally the inspiration, the insight that comes through the revelation given to him. And what was revealed to Dominic? Dominic turned his whole life over. When he says, I will follow, he did. His nobility turned that over. Wealth turned it over. Whole family turned it over. Dominic becomes a great teacher. He realizes if he's going to give something basically to the world, it's going to be through introducing them into a deeper relationship with the Lord and with his church. And how to celebrate that, how to become joyful about that, knowing that you have it all when you embrace the Lord Jesus. Interesting, when you celebrated the Feast of St. Ignatius, and I know the fathers did their readings just like I did, there was a reflective reading by St. Ignatius of Loyola, and he was talking about how he was reflecting on the lives of the saints who inspired him to develop literally the religious order that we know today as being the Jesuits. Who are the two people that he mentions? Francis and Dominic. Francis and Dominic. Friends, holiness is contagious. And there's holiness right here in this congregation. Holiness is contagious. What happens is people see it and they want it. They want it for themselves. And why? Because it's reflecting the love of Jesus in their hearts that they want and possess for themselves. Holiness is contagious. Saints, reflect the resurrected Jesus again and again in our world. You reflect the love of Christ, not only for your families, but for those that surround you, and because of that, for the entire world. We will bless an image of the resurrected Jesus, but that resurrected Jesus should be an image reflected in every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.